Imagine you're like driving through a total downpour. I mean, a torrential rainstorm.
Oh yeah, white-knuckle driving.
Exactly. Your windshield wipers are on maximum. The rain is just blinding, and you're gripping the steering wheel, trying not to slide off the road.
Right.
But then you glance down at your car's GPS, and the screen just displays this bright, smiling cartoon sun.
Wow.
Yeah, it insists the weather outside is perfectly clear.
That is, well, that's deeply unsettling.
It is, and that disconnect, between the dashboard and your actual reality, that is exactly how the global economy feels to most people right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Wall Street says the weather is perfect, but Main Street is, frankly, underwater.
It's a profound cognitive dissonance. I mean, if you just look at the raw headlines from this past week, you've got massive AI breakthroughs, extreme weather events, and then these bizarrely optimistic economic reports. It just looks like absolute chaos.
Which is exactly why we're here. Welcome, Truth Seekers, on behalf of the Great Awakening Report, to this week's Truth Seekers Weekly Briefing Mainstream Media Review.
For the week of June 19th, 2026.
Right. And our mission for this deep dive today is to take this massive stack of recent mainstream news stories and basically figure out why the dashboard is broken.
Yeah, we have to look beneath the headlines. We're extracting the actual patterns driving this era that the briefing calls the age of compression.
Because the sheer volume of news right now is just fundamentally overwhelming.
It really is. I mean, we are being squeezed by multiple massive historical transitions all happening at the exact same time.
And we know you, the listener, are feeling this. Like, there is this palpable exhaustion out
Oh,
there.
totally.
You're dealing with daily economic uncertainty, a relentless flood of conflicting information, and just this creeping, heavy sense that the institutions we used to rely on are. They're completely out of touch.
Yeah.
So if you feel like the ground beneath you is shifting, you aren't crazy. You really aren't imagining things.
No, you're not. And our goal today is to shift our focus from, consuming those raw anxiety-inducing headlines to actually recognizing the underlying signals.
Right.
We need to look at individual data points and trace the threads connecting them across totally different domains.
Because when you understand the actual mechanisms at play, you don't have to be afraid of the news cycle.
Exactly. We want to replace that reactive, fear-based mindset with clear, grounded discernment.
Okay, so let's unpack this broken dashboard, this massive disconnect between financial markets and household reality.
It's huge.
We have a stock market indexes repeatedly hitting all-time highs, right? And the aggregate data being championed by official sources says, hey, everything's booming. But wait, I need to challenge this right out of the gate because GDP is technically growing and inflation has objectively cooled down from its peak a couple of years ago.
Sure, technically.
So are people just suffering from a sort of, what do they call it, a vibe session where they're just emotionally overreacting to negative news? Or is there a genuine structural flaw in how the government does the math?
It is definitely not a vibe session.
Okay.
The disconnect is entirely mechanical. You really have to look at what those aggregate statistics are actually measuring versus how a household operates.
Right.
The stock market is, by its very nature, a forward-looking discounting mechanism,
Meaning what exactly?
meaning investors are pricing in the exponential wealth they believe a small group of massive tech companies will generate like 5 to 10 years from now. Capital always flows toward future efficiency.
Oh, so the markets are trading on what the world might look like in 2035, not what it costs to pay a mortgage today.
Precisely. But working families live strictly in the present.
Yeah, they do.
They don't pay for their weekly groceries or their property taxes with future AI productivity gains. They pay with today's wages.
Which have been severely eroded by the cumulative effect of the last few years of inflation.
Exactly. So when the official statistical reality says inflation is down to 2%, the institution sort of pats itself on the back because the rate of acceleration has slowed.
Right, it's not going up as fast.
Yeah. But the experiential reality, like what you actually feel at the checkout line,
Yeah.
is that prices are still 30 or 40% higher than they were 4 years ago.
And your paycheck definitely hasn't caught up.
No, not at all.
It's like standing on the deck of a ship where the captain is looking through binoculars saying, oh, the horizon is perfectly clear, but the passengers are the ones actually down in the engine room bailing out water.
That is a perfect analogy.
But here's where it gets really interesting. This means experiential reality is completely overtaking statistical reality.
Yeah, because when an official source points to a line chart and tells you the economy is thriving, but your family is, you know, taking on credit card debt just to cover basic insurance premiums,
right.
skepticism isn't just natural. It's a vital survival mechanism.
So people are just defaulting to trusting what they directly observe over the official aggregate statistics.
Yes, they have to.
But how does GDP factor into this? Because that is like the ultimate dashboard metric that gets paraded around the news, and it just keeps going up.
Well, think about what GDP actually represents. It measures total economic output.
Okay.
So if a major multinational corporation deploys artificial intelligence to automate its entire logistics and customer service departments, its profit margins explode.
Right. Their costs plummet.
Exactly. The stock price surges, capital efficiency goes through the roof, and the nation's GDP goes up.
So the aggregate statistic looks absolutely phenomenal.
It looks amazing. But what happens to the 10,000 workers who just lost their middle-class wages?
Wow. Yeah. Their lived experiences in economic depression, even while the nation's GDP chart goes up and to the right.
Exactly. The institutions are measuring capital efficiency, but the public is measuring their quality of life.
And those two metrics have just become completely untethered from one another.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you really have to ask what is actually causing that fracture to widen so aggressively right now.
Right.
We're looking at two massive concurrent accelerants putting unprecedented stress on the global system.
Okay. What are they?
The rapid deployment of artificial intelligence and the increasing volatility of our physical environment.
Okay, let's start with the digital side. We hear about AI constantly in the mainstream media.
Sure.
And the common narrative is that it's just the next version of the internet. Like, oh, it's the 90s.com boom all over again.
Right.
But honestly, it doesn't feel like a new web browser or a new app. It feels much more akin to the invention of electricity. Like, it's fundamentally changing the grid itself, not just what we plug into it.
That is a much more accurate way to view it. I mean, the Industrial Revolution replaced physical muscle.
Yeah.
The internet replaced physical distance.
Yeah.
But AI is replacing cognitive processing. It is a foundational economic operating system. And what makes this transition uniquely volatile is just the sheer velocity of it.
Because past technological revolutions disrupted one specific sector at a time,
yeah.
right? Usually over several decades.
Exactly. But AI is simultaneously disrupting knowledge work, creative fields, global logistics, and heavy industry, all at the exact same time.
And the news this week heavily reflects that. Like, we aren't just seeing stories about new consumer chatbots.
No, not at all.
We're seeing nations pouring hundreds of billions of dollars into domestic semiconductor manufacturing, massive data centers, and dedicated power grids just to run the models.
Because it's no longer just a commercial tech race between a few Silicon Valley companies.
Right, right.
It's now viewed entirely through the lens of strict national security and global competitiveness.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, if a nation doesn't control its own foundational intelligence layer, it basically loses control of its economic sovereignty.
But that rapid, desperate build-out requires massive capital concentration,
yeah.
which I guess only accelerates that wealth inequality and household squeeze we were just talking about.
Yeah, it accelerates it tremendously.
So while the digital grid is being entirely rewritten and causing all this economic friction, the physical world is also completely throwing out its rule book.
Yeah.
I mean, we have unprecedented heat waves, anomalous atmospheric rivers, and severe droughts making headlines all week.
Right.
And the crucial thread here is that both of these forces, digital AI and physical weather, are completely destroying historical predictability.
And what's fascinating here is how losing a historical baseline actually breaks the mechanics of the modern world.
Oh, so.
To understand the impact, you have to look at global finance and trade. Our entire global infrastructure, our supply chains, agricultural systems, municipal bonds, and especially our insurance models, is built on actuarial tables.
Actuarial tables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are dense mathematical models based on the last 100 years of historical data.
Right.
The insurance industry knows how to price a policy because they know historically, a specific geographic region gets a severe flood or fire, say, once every 100 years.
So they price the risk based on the assumption that the future will basically roughly resemble the past.
Exactly. But what happens when that one in 100 year flood happens 3 years in a row?
Oh, wow.
Fueled by, you know, rising atmospheric energy and shifting natural cycles, the math literally breaks.
So the actuarial tables become completely useless?
Completely. Insurance companies can no longer calculate the risk, so they simply pull out of entire states.
Which triggers a massive chain reaction.
Yep.
Like, if farmers can't insure their crops, Banks won't give them loans to buy seed.
Exactly.
If shipping companies can't insure their cargo against volatile oceanic storms, supply chains halt.
Right.
So extreme weather breaks the historical baseline for the physical environment exactly the same way AI breaks the historical baseline for labor and productivity.
Which means society has to fundamentally shift its entire strategy from prediction to adaptation.
Yeah. Because you just can't predict it anymore.
Right. You can no longer reliably forecast the exact path of the storm or the exact trajectory of the technology. You can only build a ship strong enough to weather a much wider, wilder variety of shocks.
But that leads me to a major logistical hurdle.
Yeah.
If the shocks are coming from both digital disruption and physical climate simultaneously, how can a local community or a business possibly build enough redundancy to handle both at once?
It's incredibly difficult. It requires a complete, painful reversal of how we have structured the global economy for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
For decades, the dominant business philosophy was just-in-time efficiency. Mm. You know, you strip out all the buffer room, all the extra inventory, and all the redundant labor to maximize your profit margins.
Right. It's like a major city hospital running entirely on a just-in-time inventory system to save money.
Yes.
On a normal Tuesday, it works flawlessly. Efficiency is totally maximized. Right. But the second a massive 10-car pileup happens on the local highway, they run out of bandages and blood supply in 5 minutes because they deliberately eliminated their backup storage.
That is the absolute perfect way to understand the fragility of our current global systems.
Wow.
We optimized everything for a perfectly predictable world. Now that the predictability is gone, communities and businesses are being forced to deliberately build those buffers back in.
Which is expensive.
Very. It means investing in local energy microgrids instead of relying on a single massive power plant miles away. It means diversifying supply chains so you aren't reliant on one factory across the globe.
Right.
It means training workers with multiple adaptable skill sets rather than hyper-specializing them in one fragile industry. It's a necessary but highly inflationary shift from efficiency to durability.
Which brings us to how the people in charge are trying to handle all this pressure.
Yeah.
We're watching global systems attempt to manage this concurrent digital and physical disruption, and the result is absolutely destroying public trust.
It really is.
There's a phrase surfacing to describe the current state of the world. Manage stability under compression. What does that actually look like in practice?
It means the world only appears stable right now because governments and central banks are frantically intervening behind the scenes to keep the systems from freezing up.
Okay.
Because our global supply chains, tech networks, and financial systems are so hyper-interconnected, the margins for error are virtually non-existent.
It sounds like global stability right now is a game of Jenga where all the bottom pieces have been moved to the top. Like the tower is still standing, but everyone in the room is holding their breath.
That's exactly it. And from a purely institutional risk management perspective, their immediate instinct makes logical sense to them.
Which is to control everything.
Right. To try and control every single variable. Take pandemic preparedness, which has been heavily featured in recent news cycles.
Oh, yeah?
Years after the last major crisis, global health agencies are pouring massive resources into genomic monitoring, centralized vaccine platforms, and medical stockpiles.
Right.
They are increasingly viewing public health not as a localized medical issue, but entirely through the lens of national defense and biosecurity.
So they see the fragile, just-in-time hospital system we just talked about, and their solution is to build an enormous centralized scaffolding around it to ensure it never collapses.
Exactly. But look at how the public reacts to that scaffolding.
Yeah.
The citizens don't just see benevolent protection, they see top-down control. They see unelected bodies making opaque decisions that directly impact their daily lives, their local economies, and their bodily autonomy.
And this creates a massive, undeniable societal tension between the promise of security and the demand for sovereignty.
Yes. And this is exactly where we see the collapse of automatic credibility.
Automatic credibility.
Yeah. In the 20th century, an institution, whether it was a public health agency, a central bank, or a legacy media outlet, was trusted simply because of its sheer authority.
Right. It had the official title, it had the official seal, therefore it possessed the objective truth.
Authority-based trust was the absolute default. But the internet, and now the completely decentralized nature of information sharing, has exposed all of their contradictions,
yeah,
their internal debates and their outright mistakes in real time. You can no longer just stand at a podium, look at the camera, say, trust us, we are the experts,
yeah,
and expect the public to fall in line.
It doesn't work anymore.
No. We are undergoing a messy, highly contentious transition from authority-based trust to transparency-based trust.
So what does this all mean? If these institutions know they're losing the public's trust, and they have to know, right? Yeah. The polling data is disastrous across the board.
It's terrible.
Why do they keep doubling down on these centralized, top-down preparedness plans? Why not pivot, open the books, and focus on local transparency to win the public back?
Well, this raises an important question about the very nature of centralized systems.
Okay.
When a massive institution faces a complex, unpredictable threat, like a novel pathogen, a severe supply chain shock, or a banking crisis, its core programming is to consolidate control to manage the variables.
Right.
Transparency feels incredibly dangerous to them because it exposes their own internal uncertainties.
Oh, I see.
They operate on the outdated assumption that projecting absolute, unwavering certainty is the only way to maintain order.
They genuinely believe that admitting they don't know something will cause a panic.
Exactly. But what they completely fail to realize is that in an era where every citizen has a smartphone,
right,
and can instantly cross-reference official claims with raw data from a dozen different sources, projecting false certainty actually destroys order much faster than just admitting you don't have all the answers.
Wow. Yeah, because when the official narrative clearly conflicts with the observable experiential reality of the public, people don't just stop trusting that specific claim.
No, they stop trusting the institution entirely.
Which leaves the individual citizen in a really tough spot. Like, we are caught between incredibly complex global disruptions and institutions that refuse to be fully transparent about how they're managing those disruptions.
Incredibly frustrating.
So how do you navigate this without losing your mind?
It requires recognizing the grand pattern at play here. The world is transitioning from centralized certainty to adaptive complexity.
I want to make sure you, the listener, really hear that distinction. What we are experiencing is an evolution, not necessarily a collapse.
Right.
It feels like a collapse because the old ways of doing things, the blind authority-based trust, the perfectly predictable 100-year weather models, the stable linear career paths, those are fading.
They are.
But they are making way for something entirely new.
And in this new environment of adaptive complexity, your most valuable personal asset is discernment.
Discernment.
Yes. We have to ruthlessly separate raw information from actual wisdom. We have access to more data than any generation in human history, but we are starving for meaning and context.
Which means you have to actively build your own resilience. Personal, financial, emotional, and community resilience. Understanding these macro patterns, seeing how AI rewrites the labor grid, how weather breaks the actuarial tables, how institutions reflexively cling to authority, is infinitely more valuable than reacting to the daily noise of fear-based headlines.
It fundamentally shifts your posture.
Yeah.
Instead of waking up every day and feeling like a helpless victim of a chaotic news cycle, you become an active observer of history. You understand the mechanics of why the systems are straining.
It's actually kind of a relief, right?
It really is.
You don't have to carry the emotional weight of every terrifying headline. You just have to learn how to spot the underlying currents beneath the waves.
Exactly.
But practically speaking, I have to ask about application. How does a person actively practice transparency-based trust in their own media consumption?
That's the key question.
Because it feels like there is a razor-thin line between healthy skepticism and just descending into total cynicism where you believe everything you read is a lie.
Navigating that line is the defining challenge of modern media consumption.
Okay.
Practicing transparency-based trust means you look for the show-your-work element in any claim.
Like in math class.
Exactly. When you read a mainstream news article or listen to an official statement, don't ask, does this person have an authoritative title?
Right.
Ask, are they providing the raw data? Are they acknowledging the counterarguments? Are they openly admitting what variables they still don't know?
So if an institution or a journalist is successfully adapting to this new era, they will treat you like an intelligent partner in the pursuit of truth.
Yes. They will lay out the evidence and let you see the reasoning.
Right.
But if a source consistently demands your blind faith, refuses to show its underlying data, and treats you like a subordinate who just needs to be managed for your own good,
yeah,
that is when your healthy skepticism should trigger. Cynicism is the lazy belief that nothing is true and everyone is lying.
No.
Discernment is the active belief that truth exists. But the burden of proof is entirely on the institution making the claim.
Truth exists, but you have to prove it to me.
Mm-hmm.
That is a brilliant rule of thumb. It keeps you grounded.
It allows you to engage with the world without being consumed by the noise of it.
So, to wrap up this deep dive, the big takeaway from this week's mainstream media review is to focus on finding clarity through observation.
Absolutely.
Don't let the sheer volume of the news cycle overwhelm your emotional state. Look for the signals hidden in the noise.
Right.
Follow the threads that connect the digital disruption of AI, the physical disruption of the climate, and the economic reality of the household.
And focus your energy on building durability in your own life.
Yeah.
The perfectly predictable era of the past is gone. But if you understand the new mechanics of the world, you can adapt to whatever comes next.
Well said. Now, we always like to leave you with a final thought.
Yes.
Something for you to mull over on your own that builds on everything we've explored today. We've discussed the rapid rise of AI as a foundational operating system, the messy shift from authority-based trust to transparency-based trust, and the desperate attempts by human institutions to manage complex global systems.
So consider this.
Yeah, if our global structures are rapidly shifting away from centralized human authority toward distributed transparency-based networks, what happens when artificial intelligence is ultimately tasked with managing that transparency?
Wow.
When the data streams become too vast and complex for any human to manually verify, will we eventually trust an algorithmic observer to tell us the objective truth more than we trust our own human institutions?
It's a scary thought.
Or will outsourcing our discernment to AI just become the ultimate invisible form of centralized control, perfectly disguised as an open system?
That is a profound paradox, because if the algorithm acts as a black box that doesn't show its work, we are right back to blind authority-based trust, just with a machine instead of a politician.
It really makes you think. Keep that in mind the next time you're driving in a storm, trying to decide whether to trust the glowing screen on your dashboard or your own two eyes. Until next time, stay curious, stay grounded, and keep observing.